You are the one who speaks to the churches. Yes, just as it is written, let all those who have ears hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Lord, this morning, together we want to hear you. Be the speaking one. And we be the listening ones. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. The burden of the Lord concerning to speak about these things is not for us to be so much conscious of the enemy. No, that's not what it is all about. But we have to see that there is a problem in this universe, and this is important to see. And also to have a consciousness of the kingdom in our heart. It's not a matter of the teaching. It's very easy to know the teachings. But the Lord has to awaken the consciousness of his kingdom in our hearts. I'm sure that with us all, this consciousness is lacking. For us, perhaps the church is the bride. Yes, the bride is also important. It's not unimportant. We also see at the end of the Bible, it says, you see the new Jerusalem, the bride of the Lamb. This is only one aspect. But on the other hand, there's a more important aspect. That is the kingdom. What is more important, the bride or the kingdom? Both are important. But the kingdom is greater. One cannot compare the two aspects. But today, we also need to see the other side. That's the side of the kingdom. This is very important for us. God does not just want to have a bride. He has something much greater to do that he has to do in this universe. And today, just as it has been brought out in many testimonies, the enemy is there. We are in a battle right now. And the Bible tells us so. Not only when the Lord came the first time, we also saw in the time of the Old Covenant that the children of Israel had to fight so much. We see the history in the entire Old Testament. It's battle after battle. Up until today, they're still fighting. They have not stopped. But has it stopped with you? Oh, yes, you have a good church life. Oh, don't stir anything up. We beat around the bush. Yes, don't stir anything up. Just be at peace with everybody. And don't mention Babylon. Oh, we should not be mentioning Babylon. If at all, then we should say it very quietly and only among us, and not outside of this hall. Then we might as well just cut Revelation chapters 17 and 18 out of the Bible. Then we don't need to talk about it at all. One time I gave a message somewhere in Los Angeles area in Southern California. Because they have not spoken about Babylon for a long time, and I didn't know that. I thought they were for the church, and I spoke about Babylon, and I didn't even speak so strongly, and I didn't even pull out my sharpest sword. I only took out a small knife. At the end of the meeting, a brother came to me. Oh, we have not heard this word for a long time. But be careful, be careful. You cannot speak like this here. You know what I said? Too bad you didn't tell me ahead of time. If you had told me that before the meeting, I would have taken out my other sword. I believe, meanwhile, you already know me. Whoever is afraid to speak the word of God so clearly is not worthy to speak the word of God. Why do you think that all the prophets in the Bible are not so well liked? I've never seen any prophet in the Old Testament that was so loved by the people. You know the reason? It's because they all spoke the truth, just like the way God wants to say it. Otherwise, you cannot be a prophet. You can give a good teaching. You can speak that what people like to hear, but it does not do anything for God's kingdom, and it cannot accomplish God's will. Whoever is afraid to speak the word of God with boldness, then you should go find another occupation. We all have to see very clearly what happened in this universe, and what is our commission here in the church. The Lord has to give us grace. And here, praise the Lord. It's not a matter of the teaching, but that the Lord would stir up this consciousness of the kingdom in our hearts. It's not a matter of a work. If you think that I'm doing a work, you're mistaken. I have no work. Everybody has a work of their own. That's okay. But you want to build up a ministry. I have not built up a ministry. And what do we do here in the church? If whatever we do today would not shake up the principalities and powers, just like what the Lord said in Haggai and also in the book of Hebrews, and once again, I will shake up the earth, not just the earth, but also the heavens. The heavenly sphere would also be shaken. Our building up of the church has to shake up both heaven and earth. All the demonic spirits have to be shaken up, and all the principalities and powers in the air have to be shaken. Otherwise, the building up of the church, our building up of the church, has no meaning at all. And the enemy is not afraid of what we do or what you do. Wherever the Lord went when he was on the earth, he stirred things up. I don't believe the Lord did it purposely. No. The Lord is not a troublemaker. Do you think that the Lord is a troublemaker? But his being and all that he is, his word, he is the word. He doesn't just speak the word, but he himself is the word. He does not speak about the kingdom, but he is the kingdom. He is the king. And that's the reason, even though he may not be speaking, wherever he went, the enemy will be stirred up. Oh, whoa, here comes the king. just as we have read, the Lord would not have gone and everywhere just to seek out the demons. But wherever he went, the demons started speaking, "Oh, Son of Man, or Son of God, what do you want to do with us?" He was famous. He was famous. What kind of a reputation do we want as the church? You know, dear brothers, we don't need to stir up left and right to stir up something. But when we speak the truth, and if we are what we speak, then it will stir up the whole religion and the whole world. It would cause an uproar. Someone said to me in Asia once, he says, "John," he says, "you know, I did not speak about the church because I know they don't want to hear about the church. I did not speak about the church." But in spite of it all, they were stirred up and they were not happy. Then I said, "This brother, what did I do? I didn't do anything. I said nothing." Do you know what he said to me? You don't have to say anything. People see it in your face already. Praise the Lord. I was not conscious of it that the church is written on my face. What can I say? But praise the Lord. I don't have to say much more. But I just have to show up. Lord Jesus, I wish we were all like that. That the burden of the Lord is so much in our heart, and we're so filled with it that oftentimes we don't need to say much. Oh Lord, how much is the burden of the Lord concerning His kingdom, His church? How much of this is in your heart? Or is it just in your head so that you just know about it and that's it? No, no, that's not what it is all about. But the Lord has to give us this consciousness of the kingdom in our heart, that this consciousness would be awakened. When once it's awakened, praise the Lord, you will see that your church life would be different. It's not a matter of the teachings, but it's a matter of your heart. Right? So, if in our hearts we have the burden of the Lord so much, and we're filled with it, and we're filled with the desire of what the Lord wants, then it is just like when the Lord Jesus was on this earth. Already when he was 12 years old, the Lord was 12 years old, and he was fully for the Father's business. I wish to see that all these young people sitting here, that you be filled with the purpose of the Lord. Already right now, it will be in your hearts. Don't think that you're too young. Was the Lord too young when he was 12 years old? He was not too young. No. We're already too old. No one is too young. And at your age, you have to start already. Praise the Lord. So, dear brothers and sisters, last night I said that we don't want to talk about it today. Now we want to see that God, praise the Lord, actually he's waiting for it. How do we know that God is waiting for it? Because in the book of Ephesians, it says, let's all look at, let's all read this. Ephesians chapter 1. It is so wonderful how Paul received this revelation from the Lord. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's point number one. Now let's read verse 4 together. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to sonship by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Praise the Lord. Before God created this world, before the foundation of the world, just like we read in Job chapter 38, of course, all the angels were rejoicing. They shouted for joy, and surely they knew that they were going to rule over this earth. But in God's heart, before he created this world, he had already predestined mankind. You have to appreciate this. And Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5, we read that he did not appoint the angels the coming, the world to come, be subject to the angels, but he gave it to us man. He has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels. So after everything that happened, God said, praise the Lord. He was already waiting for it. That's why in verse 2 it's written, and before the judgment came, the Spirit was already hovering there, brooding. Can you imagine that? I believe many of us cannot feel how it was. I can just really sense it, how the Spirit was just waiting and brooding there. Can you feel this? Can you imagine before the foundation of the world, God already chose man, and he was just waiting. He was just waiting there. So that's why I cannot believe that this time period was too long. First of all, he could not wait anymore. And second, it's not simple for the archangel, the morning star, to wait. He was proud. He wanted to be like God. So praise the Lord. And finally, the Spirit of God could say, let us make the earth anew and restore it in 6 days. It's wonderful. There's the brooding spirit. But I want to remind you once more, this restoration work of God is through the brooding spirit. It's fully a matter of life. Everything that God created on this earth is living. Everything that man created is dead and lifeless, no matter how it is, how beautiful it is. A Porsche is nice, but it is dead. Where's Alicia? Works at Porsche. Where is she? Ask Alicia whether there's something living in Porsche. And suddenly the car would become alive and has a soul. No. Nothing that man created is living, no matter how beautiful and how well it functions. A bird is much prettier, and the eagle is much prettier and elegant.
Abgesehen davon, dass sie diese Design da, sie haben von Gott gestohlen, obwohl sie nicht an Gott glauben.
Besides, although mankind did not believe in God, they stole the design.
Eines Tages wird
and one day God will say,
also, ihr müsst das bezahlen.
You have to pay for that. You have to pay much for that. They stole the design of the bird.
Sie haben alles gestohlen von Gott.
They stole everything from God.
Ja, ein Bruder, der in
a brother who is working at an airplane manufacturer and worked, he said that when he went to San Diego, he had the longing to touch the skin of the dolphin. They wanted to steal this design from God. So that it would be flying so smoothly, so aerodynamics. So where did they learn it? Who created the first principle of aerodynamics? You know that, right? God is much more scientific than you think. They learned everything from God. But yet, they cannot create life. In the church life, dear brothers and sisters, everything that we do here in the church has to be living. Never give a message without life and without the Spirit. It's best you shut your mouth. And let those who can give life and spirit, let them speak. What can I say? When Jesus came to this earth, he said, "My words are spirit and are life." Every word that came out of his mouth was so living. And how is it in the church when we speak, when we give a testimony? You should not just give a testimony, but give a testimony full of life, full of truth, full of the Spirit, and full of life. That is important in the church. When we say something and it's not living and it's not life-giving, it's so tiring for the saints. I tell you, especially in the church, many saints have been in the church life for many years. Don't you think that they can discern? I see Heidi Kuppler there. Do not think that the saints cannot discern. You know, our saints can discern. But they're all very nice and all very polite. And sit there and suffer. They are not living there, but they're suffering there. Do you think I'm joking here? No. No. That cannot be in the church. In these 6 days, the work of the Lord, God did not waste any time or any word concerning what he did. His work is living. Even one little sheath of grass is living. Even one tiny little insect is living. Not only are the birds living, but an insect, a mosquito, is also living. Big and small. Even the bacteria are living. So small. We cannot see it with our eyes, but they are living. We all have to learn. Learn from God. Because when we say, this is His church, this is His work, then we have to do everything with the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit that gives life. And the Spirit, it is the Spirit that gives life. And He brings life into everything. And tell the Lord. He says, be like this in the church. Before, in this black area in the chart, the God's judgment of the earth, it's all death. It's God's judgment, there's darkness, and then there's the abyss. But after this time, everything became living. When we in the church are also so dead, or are half dead, or three quarters dead, or a quarter dead, it's still not acceptable. When God created everything through His Spirit, there was light and there was the atmosphere, and on the third day, the power of resurrection, He separated death from the earth, and all kinds of life forms started growing, and the air was full of living birds. As I was there taking hospitality at Wilfried's place, I don't need an alarm clock anymore, because at 5:30 I hear all the birds chirping away, and I'll be awakened not through a dead alarm clock, but it's through the living alarm clock. It's much better than a mechanical gling, 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 clock, clock, clock. It doesn't sound so good. But this living bird, my, then right away I have to praise the Lord that He has created them. Or do you need an alarm clock? Everything is living. It's wonderful. Are we still living in the church? When we sing, then please sing a living song. Not crown Him, Lord. If we sing like that, everybody will die. We should sing just like this morning. Then all the angels will be jealous of us. If I were just a man, but too bad. We people all want to be angels. So learn from God's work. Everything that we do, you cannot force life out. You cannot force life, and you cannot teach life. You cannot teach anybody life, but you have to do it through the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of life. He is the living Spirit that broods over. He's a brooding spirit, the hovering spirit. If we do not have the Spirit, you cannot be living no matter what you do. You can give the most good teachings, you cannot give any life. We need the life-giving Spirit. The ministry in the new covenant is not the teaching. It's not the nice teaching, not even the deep teachings. It can be as deep as the pit. It can't go any deeper, but we need the life-giving Spirit that gives that life. Praise the Lord. Don't bring the teachings back to Ghana, but bring the Spirit back to Ghana. Hallelujah.
Oh,
Oh Lord.
Wir brauchen nicht über den ersten bis sechsten Tag zu reden.
We don't need to speak about the first and the sixth days, first day to the sixth days, but we all need to know that the principle is that everything that God does gives life. Do not do anything in the church that is not living. Did Paul not say that the letter, what? The letter kills. How many Christians have been killed already? Not through the world and many other things, but through the letter. In English it says, the letter kills. The Spirit gives life. We may have so many books, but if the Spirit is lacking, then it's worthless. So learn in this restoration work of the Lord. It's a work of life. Praise the Lord. From the first day on, up until the sixth day, everything that he did was full of life, full of light. And it's so wonderful. And now we come to the actual matter. That's the creation of man. My, that was what God was aiming for. He wanted to create man. Man did not come from the monkeys, from the apes. Don't think that we came from the monkeys. Satan would like to see that and make all mankind into monkeys. Because it's what's the plural of monkeys. It's still in German. Affen.
Oh, Jesus.
So, what would you like to be? Be monkeys? Are you a monkey? No, we're not monkeys. We don't evolve from monkeys. God created us in a very special way because we should rule with Him. We would be the future rulers of this world. We'll be the future kings of this world. And we will rule over everything that God has created. You have to see this. This is our destiny. It's for the kingdom. And that's why God said, let's read it once again, especially for the newer saints. Chapter 1, verse 26. Oh Lord, that's in Genesis, yeah? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. We'll never be tired of reading these verses. It has so much to do with us.
Amen.
Amen. Verse
26.
This is so wonderful.
Als Gott alle Dinge geschaffen hat,
When God created everything else, He made it so simple. He spoke, and it was, brought into existence. So all the birds in the air, so they came into being. Don't think that God still had to go to His drawing board. And had to draw. Oh, and a parrot. How should a parrot look like? No. Let me draw another one. Do you think that God had to do that? No. He only had to say, let there be, and they came into being. Otherwise, God would have much to do. Or perhaps he had so many angels. So perhaps the angels would have to have a competition. He said, God would say, oh, no, not this one. Oh, okay, not one. Definitely, it wasn't like that. But you know, when came to the sixth day concerning man, he did it very carefully, very detailed way. Let us make man in our image. That was something very special. We have to appreciate that. Then God said, let us make man in our image. That already, this is something very special. Man was made in God's image, something similar to God. Because God had something in His plan. Angels, the angels were not created in His image, but we. And then He said, in our image, and according to our likeness. And Darby says, and the Luther translation, he says, in our likeness. So, dear brothers and sisters, we are really something special. We should not take it lightly. We people are a special creature because God had already given us a special sonship before the foundation of the world. You know, the angels were also called sons of God. Sons in the sense that God had created them. But we would become sons of God. Not because we are created like by Him, but that we also have His life. We're born again. We're born of Him. This is a big difference. So, and what would you inherit from God as sons of God? What are we going to inherit? We will inherit the kingdom. It is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, and with the kingdom is everything. One day we will inherit all things with Christ. Together with Christ we'll inherit all things. This is wonderful. But the important thing is the kingdom. The Lord wants to give us the kingdom. Praise the Lord. And the entire Bible, especially in the New Testament, it shows us that this image is Christ. So we'll have so much to do with Christ. And will be conformed to His image. It will be transformed and conformed to His image. Praise the Lord. This is so important. The creation of man. This is important. Or would you rather be a monkey today? Or be a gorilla? No? But praise the Lord, we people are created to rule. Let's go on to read here. We have to appreciate this. And then the Lord said, and let them have dominion. This is so wonderful. They should have dominion. Is this not good? Not the angels should rule, but they should have dominion. That means this world, the world to come, in the world to come, God wants us as man to rule. This is your destiny, brother. This is wonderful. Do you think that when Satan heard this, and all the principalities and powers, would they be happy? Definitely not. God said they should rule. That means mankind will take the kingdom away from the angels. You have to realize that. You know, brothers and sisters, God is not like us. He said, oh, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Hush, hush. Otherwise, we'll stir Satan up. Oh, don't say it too loudly. And they would have dominion. What? They're going to have dominion? I believe you're so careful. You're so careful that you would be whispering they would have dominion. We are the church. Don't say it too loudly. Your voice is so loud. Your voice is louder than mine. You have to be quiet. What are we? We are the church. Church. When we were much younger, in those days, I still remember, when we went, drove to Salzgitter in northern Germany, what did we speak about? Babylon. You can still remember that, right? Denominations, division, that's wrong. In the beginning, were you happy about it? No. He was not happy, but now today he's sitting here. What do you think? If I had come to Sanskrita and I was afraid to talk about Babylon, would you be sitting here today? No. But why are we so careful today? We're trembling. Don't say that we are the church and that they are the Babylon. We're not allowed to say that. We should not say that. Not say it. The Lord said it loud. Come out of her, my people. And if we don't say, how would the people of God know? How would God's people know that they are to have to come out? If you don't say it, who should be saying that? That is the trumpet. You see the trumpet here. Praise the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, we have to speak the truth. God did not hide it. Surely he said it clearly, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Certainly, he said it out aloud. He declared it. And even louder, he said, let them have dominion. He wanted to be sure that the devil heard it. Or not. And you know what the result was? The devil came right away. Do you think that God was afraid that the devil would come? The serpent came right away. Are you afraid of the serpent? God was not afraid of the serpent. And we also should not be afraid of the serpent today. We are in a battle against Satan. The Lord said, you will know the truth. And the truth will do what? It will set you free. If we do not have the liberty to speak today in the church with boldness, speak the truth. Who can be liberated? Of course, one or two people would come. Why just a couple of people? But many people should get to know the truth. Many, many. Even people like Paul, who persecuted the church, he also has to come into the church. Why do we just want good and nice people and bring these people into the church? I also like to see that we'll gain some Pauls for the church. People that would like to give themselves for the kingdom of God. We should gain all kinds of people, bring all kinds of fish into the church. Paul said that we should gain faithful men who can then teach others. We should have such people. It is so important. So learn from the Lord. Let them have dominion. Do you think that God was afraid to announce this? I cannot imagine that God would say, let them have dominion. No, no, when God speaks, He speaks loudly. He says, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. Praise the Lord. And in the Darby version, there's also even an exclamation mark. Certainly, God was certainly very much stirred up. Do you think God just said, oh, okay, what are we going to do now? Do you have any idea?
No.
No?
Nobody has any idea.
Nobody has any idea?
Okay. Maybe let us make man.
Okay, let us make man. How about that?
And how should he look like?
And how should he look like?
Then
they discuss for 10 days.
Well, maybe 10 weeks.
Or maybe 10 weeks.
Ephesians 1 was later from Paul.
He said, how about Ephesians 1? Going to us. But that was from Paul, that's right. God had planned it a long time ago.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. If you don't know, even after 10 weeks, you still don't know. He said, brother said, that's right.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother, he said.
That's my experience.
That's my experience.
If I don't know, I don't know.
If I don't know, I just don't know.
But if God tells me.
If God tells me.
In one moment, the next moment, I know.
In one moment, the next moment, I know. He is the living God. Let us make man. He had already planned it a long time ago, and he knew. God knew what he wanted to make. And he was very excited about it. And let them have dominion. Let them rule. Praise the Lord. What a creation of man. In Psalm 8, we all know Psalm 8. Please read it for us. Psalm 8. Help us all so that we don't need to open our Bible again. Read in Psalm 8. Beginning with verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in heaven? In all the earth, not in heaven. In all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants. No, no, out of the mouths of the grandpas and grandmas. Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Amen. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man? That's a big question. This is a very important question. God created so many things. Heavens is so big, so vast, and the earth is not small, and so many living beings. What is the most important thing? The man. What is man? This is the question of all questions. When I ask, what is the most important creature in this universe? Matthias, what would you say? The ants? The flies? What is man? Please. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? Amen. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, but you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet. Amen. All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. Amen. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Amen. I'd like to ask you a question. How could his name be excellent in all the earth? Through the elephants in Bangkok? There's so many elephants and so many crocodiles. Do you think that they would make the name of the Lord excellent on this earth? The birds, the eagles, the fish in the sea? How could the name of the Lord become glorious, become excellent on this earth without you and without me? Especially today without the church. What do you think? And when we fight amongst us and we split up, would that make the name of the Lord excellent? We do so much for the Lord, but we're divided. We've done so much and so much division. It's of the same weight. It's plus and minus. That means it's equal to zero, and it's even in the negative. So is the name of the Lord excellent among us? The world will say. So you are more divided as ever before than ever before. Is that your God? Did the Bible not say, for your sake, my name was blasphemed among the nations? It's not the nations who blasphemed his name or slandered his name, but it's the people of God. We people should make the name of the Lord glorious on this earth. But through our much fighting, we bring shame to the name of the Lord, don't we? Do you want to fight some more? Continue in your fighting. Who would say to you, keep fighting? Who would have an interest in this, God or Satan? O Lord, our Lord. In verse 9 in English. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. How should this come to pass? Joel, how should this happen? Who is going to glorify the name of the Lord? Your cat at home? The dog?
Bow wow,
wow wow. Bow wow, wow wow.
At least they can say wow.
Bow and wow. Bow and wow. We all laugh. Who else? How could the name of the Lord be excellent in all the earth if it's not through us, the church? You think it's through the mega churches? There's so much corruption among the believers. then how could the name of the Lord be glorious on the earth? There's no problem with heaven. You think the angels are corrupt there? Up there? What do you think? Not them, but we here on earth, here in the church. Oh, Lord Jesus, the Lord has to awaken us. Don't do anything in the church that would bring shame to our Lord. The enemy has to be shame should be brought to the enemy, not to the name of the Lord. I have to repent. Oftentimes we have done so many things in the name of the Lord, but we have brought so much shame to the Lord. We should not be like this in the church today. No more. But much more. But we should be like what is said is Psalm 32. He will clothe us. He will clothe us, and he will clothe us, but he will clothe the enemy with shame. Just like the book of Hebrews said that oftentimes we have failed, but praise the Lord, we see Jesus, we behold, and the more he grows in us, and the more he awakens us, then praise the Lord, we will reign with him on this earth. When we come to this point, then we'll see even more. But here we see with the creation of man, Lord, I give myself for your purpose. You need me. You shouldn't just say, Lord, I need you. Yes, that too. Of course we need the Lord. Don't you need the Lord? But why did the Lord create you? Tell me. You're so proud. Oh, you mean you're so proud? You think that God needs you? Look, he is so proud. Don't say that. At least don't say it so loudly. Proud? We're not proud. We're speaking the truth. Are you a Christian? Are you saved? Are you sure? Oh, you're so proud. You think the others are not saved, only you are saved? These proud Christians. He says, you are so proud and only you are the church and the others are not. You should not just say amen, but you have to explain to them why we are the church, not because we are proud. It's a good opportunity to tell people the truth. He says, how come you're saved and I am not? Do you think our God is... your God alone is God, and my God is not God, my Buddha is not God? Demons, do you dare to say that? Now we have read so many verses here. Since we're talking about demons here, Roman numeral 3D3 in German. I don't know if it's also missing there. I don't think so. Oh, it's correct in English. 2 Chronicles 11:15. He says, me, it's not there. Maybe I don't have the last version. Perhaps it's my mistake. Everything is okay, so don't worry about it. It's only in the German. Which version do you have?
Okay, yeah. Aber wer es nicht hat, der soll hinzufügen.
whoever doesn't have it, it should add 2 Chronicles 11, 12, verse 15. We repent. Praise the Lord. So this morning we all need to see. We're created so wonderfully. You have to say to the Lord, Lord, you need me. That's why you should not let me fall. Yes, oftentimes I have told the Lord, Lord, I cannot fall, not because just for my sake, but because of for all the sake of all the saints, and much more because of your kingdom. If you only have all these fallen people on this earth, so how can you build your kingdom? If all the churches would fall again, and say, Lord, do you really still have the desire to build your church, or you build it up today and you let it fall, and you build tomorrow and let it fall again? I told the Lord, Lord, I'm already tired. But if you build a church in this way, there's no wonder that after 2,000 years a church is still not built up. You know, sometimes I joke with the Lord, really so. I told the Lord, if you let us fall again, then Lord, in the end you'll be all alone again. So please, how can you convince us Christians that you want to build your church when you do nothing against those that destroy the church? So you have to learn to say this. Christian, you have to say this to the Lord. Lord, you need me. Say it out aloud, not so quietly, not so softly. Because if I fall and you don't help me to the uttermost, then how are you going to build your church, your kingdom with people? Then you are the only person sitting on the throne. You don't want that, do you? So sometimes we have to speak to the Lord like that. Don't be like that. Don't be like so, you know. Don't be so humble. That's not the true humility. I don't know what that is, but that's not the true humility. Humility doesn't mean that, Lord, I'm not, we're nothing. Are we the church? No, we're not the church. Oh, Lord, what are you then? We're nothing. No. You know, we have to be humble, but we also have to be real, be true. We have to be humble in a real way. Of course, we should not be proud. What does it mean to be proud? If I speak the truth, am I proud? No. No, no. Dear brothers and sisters, the way God created man is very important. Before the foundation of the world, God created us, and we have to work together with Him. You have to be like Isaiah says, Lord, here am I. Whom should I send? And if you're so humble, you say, the Lord says, Whom should we send? And you stand there with your head down. How would the Lord know that He should send you? I believe that Christian would say, Lord, I'm here. All the young people should do that. Lord, here, here, I'm here. I am here. Even with a flag. So that the Lord would not overlook you. Yes. Oh, Lord Jesus. Yes. This is how the Lord wants to gain us. Look at Paul. Look at Paul. After he saw the Lord, immediately he wanted to serve the Lord. He did not need to wait a long time. No. Immediately he wanted to do it. As long as our heart is pure, I'm not afraid that our young people would rebel. Yona, would you like to rebel? Are you sure? You have to believe you're not going to rebel. Of course, I'm not going to rebel. You know, when I started to speak, when I started to serve as a young man, I made up in my mind not to rebel. I do not want to damage the church in any way. I did not want to do that. And up until this day, God has fulfilled my wish. I'd rather be put down, but not bring any damage to his church. This is not my church, it's his church. We all have to learn that. Then you, young people, can serve the Lord with boldness. And if somehow it brought damage, then stop. Our work is not so important. It's not as important as the church. Your service, your ministry for the Lord is not as important as the church. Nothing is more important than his church. Of course, apart from his kingdom. Praise the Lord. Would you rebel? Would I be afraid that Matthias would become proud? That's Matthias Hartmann. Then you have the boldness to serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. Young people, it's out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. Wonderful. Did the Lord not say, pray to the Father, Father, I thank you. You have not made known these things to the doctors and all the wise, but to whom? To the babes and sucklings. The babes and sucklings. That is good. So praise the Lord for the creation of man. We have to appreciate that. But the enemy also did not waste any time. This green portion concerning the creation of man. You see, this portion is so short. Actually, we should make it even shorter. The enemy did not wait at all. Immediately, he slid into the Garden of Eden. A young brother had asked me, how come it's lower than the other part, the nation of Israel? What would you say? You know, here it's just a garden with the creation of man, but that, the nation of Israel, it's a whole kingdom. That's why it's just green. What would you rather have? Would you rather have a kingdom or just a garden? Here, God could not build up his kingdom yet. It's just a small garden. That's why it's green. Because in the garden it's all green. But here, the brown part of the chart up there, it's although it's brown, it's still a kingdom, the nation of Israel, in the chart. We have a song that the church life is like a garden. It's nice to sing it, but it's just a garden. What would you rather have, a garden or a kingdom? Of course, a kingdom. So here we have a green color. It's just a garden. It's just all nice and green. It's also good for the serpent, so he slid in. So we have to see immediately after God created Adam and Eve, the serpent came right away. So what do you think here in the church? That this serpent would not come? That the enemy would leave us in peace? No, the enemy would not leave us in peace. If we don't watch out in the church, oh, the serpent would slide in. It doesn't mean that, oh, yeah, we should not stir trouble up. No, but we need to know what the enemy is doing today. All the apostles, Paul knew what the plan of Satan was, what his strategy was. You cannot wait till the problem's right before your eyes and then do something. It's too late. But we should already know. From afar, we should know. When the Lord was on this earth, He also knew before things happened, and I'm convinced that if we are in His kingdom, the Lord would already tell us, watch out, be careful. The Lord would already warn us, so praise the Lord. Until then, we have to see how God works, that man was created in His image, and that was a very important part. We need His image. The fallen man has lost this image more and more. And man looks more and more like the monkey. Yep. It's not evolution, but it's de-evolution. In the end, we're like the animals. That's why in the last 3.5 years, the beast would show up. The beast would appear. The beast. So it's devolution. Not evolution, but de-evolution. Devolution.
In English, you should say,
oh, it's in English it should say devolution.
How do you spell it?
How do you spell it?
No need to spell it.
No need to spell it.
Right. Don't say, oh, you're playing with words.
Don't say you're playing with words. No.
The Lord came.
The Lord came, and you, and He said, you generation of vipers, your father is not Abraham, but your father is the devil. So it's not evolution, it's devolution. But praise the Lord, in the church life, more and more we will become like the Lord. We would be conformed to His image, and we would be transformed into His image from glory to glory. Yes, praise the Lord. We go in the opposite direction. And we will be transformed into the same image, his same image, from glory to glory. And this is so important in the church life. If we want to rule, then we also have to be qualified. Praise the Lord. I hope that this morning we would appreciate what God's plan is with us, mankind. And what kind of people we should be today in order to reign with him today in the church. And that's why he must reign in us first, in the church. We are not the king. Do not think, oh, you rule, and so everyone has to listen to you in the church. That's nonsense. No. We all have to listen to the Lord. We're not so capable to be able to rule by ourselves. So we stop now, and we will see further this evening. There's a correction regarding Psalm 32 that was mentioned earlier. It should be Psalm 132, verse 9, where it says, let his priests be clothed with righteousness and shame.